Just remain standing if you will. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter 12 is where we'll take our text this morning. Amen. It is a privilege that we have to come back to the house of God, be able to gather with the saints. I mentioned about our number being down and folks not able to be with us. It could be you or I laid on the bed of affliction. But by the goodness of God, the mercies of God, He's allowed us to be on a church chair. Amen. Amen. Allowed us to be in the house of God. And could be you or I that had to have surgery. Could be you or I that had some inability. But thank God for His mercy. Amen. And allowing us to be able to gather in. And I hope that we'll receive from the Word of God that we need. By the way, let me just make a plug. My message this morning is not a long message. It's a short, just a thought. Really, it's a really, really simple thought. And I almost hesitated to bring it because it's so simple, so easily understood. But tonight, Lord willing, we're going to dig a little bit more in our Bible, do a little bit more Bible study tonight, and it'll be a little bit more in depth. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, come out tonight, be in the house of God. I thought about saying it this way. If you got a spiritual mind, you want to learn the things of God, come tonight. If you're carnal, stay home. That's subtle, isn't it? Yeah, that way, no. But seriously, if you can come tonight, we'll try to dig in the Bible a little bit more in depth and look at some things that I hope will be a blessing. But even these simple truths are wonderful. Amen. I'm going to preach about the love of God. And the song says, isn't the love of God something wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? It is. And I'm preaching really about our love for Him, but it is based on His love for us, to be honest with you. Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 28. I'm going to use several verses, and I'm not going to have you turn to them because they're familiar verses this morning. But Mark chapter number 12, verse 28, read down through verse 33. The Bible says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him. So he noticed that Jesus answered the other crowd very well. So he asked their Lord, which is the first commandment? Now that means the most important commandment. The premium, the priority. What's the most important commandment? All right. Which is the first commandment of all? Verse 29. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. By the way, that's the first command. You gotta hear God. The Lord, our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Steve Pleasant, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to have the Word of God to read.
Yes. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. I titled my message this morning, A Study on Loving God. Our Lord said that's the most important commandment. Let me ask you a question. Why should we have to be commanded to love God? Why is there a necessity for God to command us to love Him? And yet almost every single book of your Bible has that commandment. Almost every single book of the Bible references somewhere or another the need for us to love our God. The Bible's filled with those admonitions and those commandments. Here in our initial text, our Lord says that this is the first and the greatest commandment. It's the most important. It is the number one. That's what we'd say it. The number one commandment of God is that we love Him. Well, if this is, as our Lord said, the first and greatest of all commandments, we ought to put a little bit of effort into learning what is being asked, what is expected of us. How can we perform this? And why is it so important for us to love our God? Amen. I can understand God having to tell me to love my neighbor. Right? I can understand Him telling me that. Because sometimes neighbors may get on your nerves. Right? Get on your property. Take your things. I mean, there's a lot of things that neighbors may do that would cause us to need to be commanded to love our neighbor, but He didn't just say love your neighbor. He said, first of all, love God. Amen. God's never overstepped His bounds. God's never taken anything that didn't belong to Him. God's never mistreated anyone. So why? It's amazing to me why we'd have to have a commandment to love our God. Amen. I want to look just a few minutes at this thought, and I've got 3 points, as I said, very simple. Number one, why we should love God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19, we love Him because He first loved us. Amen. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, this verse here in 1 John actually not only tells us that we should love God because He first loved us, but it tells us we are now enabled to love God because He first loved us. We didn't love God first. He loved us first. And since He reached love towards us, we can reach love back to Him. In other words, God came to us and God brought us an opportunity that we could be reconciled unto Him. And that gives me the opportunity to love Him. And it gives us the great obligation, by the way, to love Him. Amen. Some verses that you know very well. Romans chapter number 5, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. God gave His Son that we might be reconciled to Him. In other words, we were at enmity with God. You know that verse that talks about that and that statement? We were enemies against God. Amen. We were at war with, you might say, preacher, no, I never was at war with God. Oh, yes, you were. You were in rebellion against the Holy God. Amen. Look at any of these little children. These little children want to have their way. They don't care what the laws are. They don't care what fair is. They don't care what the rules are. They don't care what you want or what I want. They want to have their way. And that's not just a babyish attitude. That is a human attitude. Amen. And we got a world full of people today that's saying, I want it my way, and I don't care what God says about it, what the law says about it, what anybody else says about it, I want my way. That's their idea. God, in His mercy, stepped down and gave us the opportunity that we could see our way was headed to destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. What's that? His way. His own way. Me and God got our own thing going. That's what one fellow said. I'm afraid God don't make special deals with people. Amen. If you go with God, you got to go God's way. You got to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That way seems right to a man. All the ways in a man's own eyes look right to him. Amen. But the end thereof are the ways of destruction or the ways of death. Amen. God in his mercy came to where we were and intervened. I said it this way, He interrupted our regularly scheduled program. Amen. And He intervened in our life that we might know something more than just the way we were going. Now we have the opportunity to love God. Amen.
John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm saying God stepped in. God intervened. God loved us first. Therefore, we have an opportunity to love him. Ephesians chapter 2. You might want to turn over there with me if you will. This is familiar, but probably not as familiar. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. I love these verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 11. Paul is reminding us, the Holy Spirit is reminding us, where we were, what God did to bring us out of where we were. Verse number 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus, or the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. We were at enmity with God. God chose a people. And we weren't even part of that chosen people. And yet in mercy, God even reached out to us Gentiles. Amen. We were without God. We were strangers to the covenants of promise. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but Jesus Christ stepped in. I say, why should we love God? Well, you just look what God did for us. We ought to love him. Amen. 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 Apostle Paul said this in Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. God gave us his own son, his dearest treasure, that we might come to know him. Amen. Then our Lord Jesus said it this way in John chapter number 15 and verse number 13. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Amen. What love that a man be willing to die for his friends. But Jesus excelled that in that he died even for the enemies of God, those at enmity with God. So I say this real simple. Why should we love God? Well, we ought to love God because we ought to be induced to love God because God loved us first. When we think about where we were, praise God. When we think about what he did, hallelujah. When we think about his wondrous love, his glorious love, it ought to cause us to reciprocate that love and show love back to him. Amen. You know this, and I know this too. It is a very, let me get my wording right. It makes you just mad to think about, for example, you look at a family where a woman just dotes on her husband and she just goes out of her way to please her husband and she just loves him and gives her life for him and then he walks off and leaves her. I mean, that is disgusting. That is horrible. Say amen right there. That is wicked as the day is long. Amen. But you think there ain't no woman ever been as good to you as God's been to you. Amen. Amen. There ain't no person ever been as good to you and I as God's been to you and I and has given so much as God has given. And yet sometimes we neglect that love and we walk off and leave that world of love and we flirt with the world. Amen. We ought to love God. That's why we had to be commanded to love God, because the world has more pull on us than we like to admit. We have such a slim view of the love of God and what he gave for us. And God help us when we think about that God gave his only begotten son that we might be reconciled unto him. That ought to cause us to love him and serve him forever. Amen. It ought to cause us to love him and want to glorify him at all times. Amen. Amen. Number two, why should we love God? Number two, why even unsaved folk ought to love God? I believe even lost people ought to love God. Some people might say, well, and I've heard it said, why do I owe God anything? He's never done anything for me. That is as foolish as it can be. Amen. You know who gave you breath? You know who gives you sight? Amen. You know who gives you strength? Who provides food? Amen. It is God that gives food to all flesh. It is God that gives light to every eye. It is God that gives us the air that we breathe. Amen. By the way, those things, food, breath, and strength are not God's best gifts. They're just some of the most essential gifts for us to live a fleshly life. Amen. By the way, these blessings all come from God. Amen. Science might figure out how to do a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you, they'll never figure out how to do these things that God does. Amen. They can't do what God does. And there's not one good thing you have that God didn't give you. Amen. James said it this way, James 1:17. You know what? He said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. Every good gift you've got comes from the Lord. Amen. Those babies are a gift from God. Amen. Grandchildren are a gift from God. Amen. Your spouse is a gift from God. So many things that we take for granted are gifts from God. The book of Psalms, here's another one not necessarily so familiar. Psalm 136. I think just about every verse in Psalm 136 ends with that phrase, "For His mercy endureth forever." But it says this in Psalm 136 verse 25. It says, "Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever." Verse 26 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." Amen. God's the one that gives us the food that we have. I know they're trying to manufacture food today. You let a drought come, or you just let the power go off for a while, and we have some problems with our food keeping and food production. But thank God, God in His mercy provides food. God feeds the fowl every day. Amen. 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 And He said, we're of more value than any of those. Amen. So give thanks unto the Lord. Why? I believe there's a reason why we ought to love God. Matter of fact, there's a reason why even lost folks ought to love God. Amen. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 45 says, "That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Amen. God's mercy is on everybody, thank God. God's goodness is shown forth to everybody. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way. He said, "Know ye not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" God's good to sinners and ought to call sinners to turn to God. Amen. I'll say it this way and then move to my last point. God is good to all mankind. Therefore, all mankind ought to love God. But they don't. They hate Him. They hate Him. They ought to love Him. Why every person ought to love God? Why even lost people ought to love God? And number three, why Christians especially ought to love God? Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. Our Lord is visiting in a home, and this woman comes who had been a sinner. And this woman weeps on the feet of our Lord, anoints His feet with her tears, and wipes them with the hairs of her head. And this Pharisee, Simon, gets upset at the show of affection, gets upset that our Lord would even allow such a woman to touch Him. He said if He was a prophet, He'd know this woman's a sinner. Look at verse number 47. Our Lord has given him a parable, and He says in verse number 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." He'd ask the question, if a man owes you more than another man, which one's going to love you more? The one that is forgiven the most is going to love the most. And our Lord said about this woman, her sins were many. Amen. Look at it again. Verse 47. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Amen. She had a multitude of sins that Pharisee knew about some of them, but Jesus knew about more of them than the Pharisee knew. Jesus said, hey, they're more than you think they are, but there's also something else about her sins you don't know. That is, her sins have been forgiven, and since her sins have been forgiven, she loves me not a little, she loves me a lot. Amen. Because he forgave us a lot, we ought to love him a lot. Amen. Lost people ought to thank God for their food, but surely the goodness saved people ought to thank God for the food. Saved people ought to thank God for their salvation. Saved people ought to thank God for the life that he's given them. Saved people ought to thank God for the family that he's given them. Amen. The lost world, they only see God as creator, if they even see that. They know he made it. He's the maker. He's the provider. He's the one that gives things. And therefore they see him, they make him the great benefactor. But those that are saved, they see God different than the lost world does. We see him as creator, provider, great benefactor. But we also see him as savior. Amen. We see him savior. We see him as the lover of my soul. Amen. Jesus, lover of my soul. That's what the song said. Amen. When we see him as he is, that he loved us, we love him because he first loved us. If there's anybody on planet earth that ought to be thankful and that ought to give God glory and love God, it's saved people that have been purchased by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Song of Solomon says a lot about that. Two things in chapter number 5. Verse number 10, she says this, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. That's really, she said, he's above all. He's the best there is. He passes and surpasses all others. Amen. Jesus ought to do that. God ought to be the greatest to all of us. Amen. He's the highest. And then Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16 says, his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. He is altogether lovely. There's no spot in him. There's no excuse for not loving him. That's what he's saying. Amen. No excuse for not loving him. Makes me think of that great old song, it's in the church hymnal, in our book as well. Charles Fry wrote it back in the 1800s. It says, I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley, the brighter morning star. Amen. What's he talking about? Jesus Christ is everything to me. Amen. Amen. When we think about where we were before Christ found us, just let your mind go back there. Where you were before Christ found you. Think what a price he paid for us. Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Silver and gold, he said, that's just trash concerning what we've been redeemed by. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If there's anybody ought to love God, it's saved folk. Amen. Amen. These things cause us to notice how lovely and how wonderful our Lord Jesus Christ truly is. Ephesians chapter number 2, I read verses 11 through 13, I believe it was. I want to read the first 7 verses. And you may have them memorized. I memorized them years ago. I'm not sure if I could still do that. But he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. You that are saved now, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world. You remember that, don't you? In time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Amen. I was thinking today when we were on our way here, I'm not going to name the churches. We passed by two churches on our way here this morning. They're in close proximity. One of them, a man's walking in his shorts. His wife's walking in her pants. I guess his wife, lady walking in her pants. I said to my wife, I said, well, I guess there you can wear your shorts and your pants to church. And the next church just sort of diagonal from there, there's a lady and a little girl walking across the road to their church, both in dresses, but I noticed that the lady had a tattoo on her leg, down on her ankle. Now she's dressed for for church, thank God. But here's what, this was my thought. I didn't think, how dare her? I didn't think, I look at how bad that is. No, here's what I thought. I thought, isn't it a blessing that God can change you from one lifestyle and put you on the road headed to the house of God? You can't change some of those scars of the past. You can't change some of those things that are there. But thank God, God can make a new creature out of you. Amen. If there's anybody ought to be thankful unto God and ought to love God, it's those that have been on the trash heap of sin and been rescued by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's me and you. Amen. Well, let me get verse 3. I got carried away there. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Amen. You might not have done some of the things others have done, but we were all in that same boat at one time or another. Amen. Where in the time past you walk, no, well, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, thank God, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heaven and places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. You know what he's saying? He said there was a time we was way out there. There was a time we was worse off than we even knew how bad we were. But God in his mercy came where we were. And now look where we're sitting. We're sitting on a church pew. We're in the house of God on the Lord's day. We're rejoicing in the good things of God. And when this is all said and done, we're headed to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. What are we going to do when we get there? We're going to worship him. So what ought we to do while we're here? We ought to worship him. Amen. You ought to get used to loving him now. I said this, and I'll get on my rest of my notes here in a minute. I said this in the, I think it's the final message that I preached on the duties of husbands and wives, and that one about how to accomplish these duties. And I dealt with the staying faithful, keep yourself pure before marriage. I made this statement. I said, just because you say that vow does not make you change. Just because you say you'll change doesn't make you change. Just because that big day of the marriage has come doesn't mean things will change. I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to be faithful before that day. Well, here's what I'm going to say. Just because we get to heaven and love God there, listen, we need to practice it down here. We need to love him here. We need to serve him here so we'll be ready when we get there. Amen. Brother Sammy Allen said that he believed, now this is just sideline, but he might be right. He said he believed that during a 1,000-year millennial reign, there'll be some people that'll take them 1,000 years to go to school, learn how to praise God. Amen. He said some of them had to go on a 1,000-year nicotine fit, doing without what they've had. Amen. They had to be weaned from this world and learn how to worship God when Jesus comes. That's sad. I want to do that now, don't you? I do. That's exactly right. I want to do that now. Well, here's another verse. You know this verse well. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That we, the likes of us, should be called the sons of God. Amen. He goes on to say, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Amen. Brings to mind another song by Charles Gabriel. Also in our book, it's entitled My Savior's Love. Charles Gabriel said it this way. He said, I stand amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. I think he might have thought, now what can I write that goes along with that? So he just said, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. Amen. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love. That shall my song forever be. And he goes back to that again. It's just always going to be. I can't comprehend. And I believe even in heaven, when we know as we're known, we'll say, Lord, I still just can't figure out why you love me. Amen. Amen. Well, let me close with this thought. The command of God to love him ought to be enough. God said love, we ought to love him. That ought to be enough to constrain us to do so. But then when we think of what all he's done for us, we really don't need a command from the law. Amen. We really don't need the command from the Word. Our heart ought to cry out and say, I want to love Him. I want to love Him. I want to serve Him. Amen. I thought about how things are in our day. Perhaps you're in this case. Perhaps rather than thinking about thoughts of God's love, rather than thinking about thoughts of God's goodness, you've been looking at the nitty-gritty and the dirty and the things that's in our world today. You've been thinking about the sadness and the sorrow and the sickness and the suffering of this old world. I'm going to tell you what another songwriter said. He said, let me see if I can get it right how he said it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. If we get our eyes off our problem, we get our eyes off our sorrows, if we get our eyes off of all this wickedness in the world and recognize this is what my Lord did for me and I get the opportunity to love Him, I want to love Him. I want to sing for Him. I want to shout for Him. I want to testify for Him. I want to serve Him till the day I die. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. And I ask the question, do you need to come pray? Heavenly Father, You gave us a command that we are to love You. And Lord, we fail. It's a shame that we do after all the blessings of God and the goodness of God. The love of God that's bestowed upon us. It's a shame, Lord, that we fail to love You like we ought to. Oh, Lord, I pray, forgive us. No greater sin than to sin against love. No dirtier sin than to sin against love. And yet we do. Forgive us, Lord, I pray. If there's those among us that need forgiveness, those among us that's never yet been saved, help them to see even they owe You a debt of gratitude, but they too can be saved and show forth that love unto the Lord as they ought to. Help in the invitation time according to Thy will. We'll thank You for all You do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a verse of song. The Lord spoke to you. You need to come. Would you obey the Lord while we sing?